Gifted child, you'll seem well. Or outdid you wonders then? I've not been known for my kindness. When the swollen heads of Greenwood forsook the Alabaster Council, us Lanyardmen were left bannerless. We did horrible things. In our weakness, we turned to you, the gifted children, and breathed in the delicious rancid smell of mummy's fallow hole. Oh. No, you wanted to hear the other story. Okay. Here's part three of Chapo Trap House and DM Patches present Rise of the Unblooded, Curse of the Mad King Joe.
We'll have a recap in here, probably, that's a little bit maybe better written and more about Ted Lasso, but to give you guys a little bit of a recap of what happened last time, you were all broken out of prison by Mikaeus Lindell, your three crusaders, who had a very popular pamphlet that was trying to spread the truth about the Fauci cure, what you thought was the truth, but turned out was the truth, because you watched it happen to your friend, Mikaeus Lindell, after he broke you out and then died of the plague, mysteriously, from those who were saved, biting him up. You went to a bar, you hung out with some people, Matt met a dog who became his fast friend. Oh, I don't know if anybody remembers if it was fuck shit or shit fuck.
Fuck shit.
Shit fuck.
Oh, shit fuck?
It was shit fuck?
Okay,
good.
I thought it was fuck shit.
I thought it was fuck shit too, and this is, but Jack said it was shit fuck also, so, and Matt now too, he's shit fuck. The dog... his dog, who accidentally named Shitfuck later. Then Felix met Huma, the spider queen, who he, like, you know, just kind of was like, you know, I'll hit you up. Will was able to use his owl abilities to spot a shade, and also was able to sort of start to conquer his fear of being dead from rubble falling on him. After you guys killed the Rat King, you learned from the Rat King there was a conversation between him and the two-headed chancellor, Nanchucket, about the state of the Blue Cloaks, who seemed to be wavering, and as well as the planned fall of Cuomo, who is to be canceled. You also were encountered someone who is almost definitely Hunter Biden with his cloak and his owl, saving you once, and at the very least, just stoking the fires one other time. So you all awake by the river, where you're supposed to be the rendezvous point to meet the contact. You all wake up at the same time to a rumbling explosion in the background, somewhere near the Black City. On your sundial's wrist, your wrist sundials, it says 8:46. The first 5EG tower in the Black City has fallen. A dense Stygian smoke fills the horizon. The Black City is blacker than it's ever been. And right on cue, your Chiron has arrived in a shoddy riverboat, a bedraggled vampire with a sloppy comb over and an ill-fitting bureaucratic attire. It's none other than Rudolfo Giuliano, former lord of the Black City and now brother to the Unblooded. You can hear sort of the chaos ensuing by the Black City. You're sort of like shaken awake by this. Matt, you feel around in your pocket. You see a shitfuck is sniffing around your pocket. You pull out, and there's a bottle of hot sauce and a little note next to it that says, give it to the good boy, -HB. I'll let you, what do you want to do with that while this vampire is arriving? And the first tower has fallen.
Well, there's only one good boy here, and it's mm-hmm. this dog, because everyone else is a human, and they fucking suck.
Yes.
Hey, guy.
Hey.
Yeah, put some of this on your tongue. See what happens.
Okay. And he opens his mouth, and the hot sauce goes on his tongue, and you see him, you see, like, it, like, kind of Popeye with the spinach, goes through his body all the way back out, and fire comes out of his mouth. He now has a fire attack, where he's able to shoot a 30-foot by 15-foot cone. And also, you have now bonded with this creature. When you rage, he rages. And he will take on aspects of the dire bear. Meaning he will get an extra attack and also be a part of making people afraid of you.
Sweet.
Shitfuck is very happy about this. He's sort of spinning around chasing his tail while a tower falls in the background. Just very happy. The bedraggled vampire comes up alongside you, kind of slowly, clumsily along the river. As he sort of like basically kind of crashes into the riverbank, he takes out a flask of blood from beneath his coat and takes a huge swig. Unwittingly, he smacks his lips and quickly runs his tongue around his mouth and then wipes whatever remains on his sleeve. And he goes up to you, goes, "Oh my god, you wouldn't believe the traffic to get here. It was nuts, so nuts, not Verrazano nuts, but you know, not Whitestone nuts, you know, but nuts, nuts enough." And he halts his knee-jerk, like, excuses and squints at you three, just, like, completely guileless, just, like, looking at you. And then he just goes, he starts counting, like, 1, 2, 3. With Mike.
Sir, I gotta be honest with you. I do not know exactly what you're looking for, but I would just like to take this opportunity to say you are the greatest hero the Black City ever had.
Thank you. I remember so much. Please.
You're a hero.
I gotta say to Mr. Nosferatu, I grew up in the Black City. I grew up in the Black City, and I remember what it was like before you were Lord Mayor. And I gotta say, it was not a pleasant place.
Oh,
cleaned it up.
Terrible.
You cleaned it up. Patriots are in control. Patriots will be in control again.
That is correct. But
quickly before I get into that, I just like to make note of the fact that as the 5G scrying tower imploded on itself, I just thought it was odd that Felix Arathorn, my companion, was on a hilltop making a vision scroll of it and dancing.
I did not have. Okay.
Felix, roll deception. Keep going with that. Okay. Six.
Okay. So yes, I was recording it. Okay, but I did an interview with one of the biggest scrolls in the Holy Land about why I was there, and it's my job was just to record what was happening. I didn't like know what was going to happen. It was just like I had to, people had to know, right?
But no, like, know what? They just wanted you to get on top of a hill and film Lower Black City?
Yeah, look, I get, okay, I know this is a contentious issue, okay? I get it. I get that you're mad. I think this will calm you down a little bit. That is literally all I can say, and anything else, I will get in a lot of trouble for saying.
I'm never going to forget this. The Black City is my city. It's the Black City is the number one city in all of Middle Earth. I would agree. All right.
I agree. What would you say? Okay. What would you say? That, like, maybe if you love something, maybe if you really, really love something. And there is a thing. Say there's a girl that you love. Say it's like the perfect maiden, virgin.
Borat's daughter.
Borat's daughter, exactly. You know, and maybe for you, Will, like a woman that you could live in a wagon with and have bear nine children with.
A wagon? A wagon? What? Oh, something with wheels? I think not.
No, just by wagon, I mean like a plank of wood that you found that you didn't even cut apart.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. You love her more than anything, but there's a part of her body that contains secrets that the world must never see. Mm. And you have to, there's like a part of her body that you have to utterly destroy in order to get the part of her that has secrets in it. Let's just call it like internal organ 7. You got to get rid of it.
Now, this happened to some of my kids because I stumped my cousin and they got all kinds of stuff in their bodies that they really got to get rid of that stuff. It's unfortunate. I know exactly what you're saying. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Look, I like Arathorn. I know he's an art student, so I'm gonna forget about the vision scroll he made of the scrying tower collapsing on itself. You know what? He's still my friend, but sir, Mr. Mayor Nosferatu, sir, once again, I want to thank you for executing the squeegee serfs. They were a plague on the city.
Oh my god.
They were a plague on the city. You cleaned it up, sir. The Black City is back and better than ever.
No, I appreciate that. I just have to know, where's Micaius?
Oh, he's dead.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
he's dead.
Oh,
he died.
Yeah, we saw him die.
I swear to God, I'm the last one to know anything around here. Okay, all right, All right, well, come on. We got to get to the boat. We got to get you guys to the portal. I guess I'll have to lead you there. Come on.
Yeah, I'm really sorry that I had to be the one who told you this, because you were the one that, like, you know, got us through such a hard time in the Black City.
It wasn't easy, you know, because I had pressure on both sides. You know, they were saying, no, we need more crime. Someone was saying that, and I had to tell them, no, I'll sue you to hell. And then meanwhile, I had to betray my Italian brothers. That was not fun. I didn't like doing that. But they were. It was too much. It was too much.
It was too much, and it's like, yeah, a lot of people missed what they were, you know, the things that the Italians were doing in Black City. But at the same time, you made it safe for people like me to walk around the Upper West Side of the Black City.
Yeah, that was sort of an unintended consequence, but it's good, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, you stopped the knockout joust.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's back. Now it's back.
Now it's back.
With Lord de Bungalow.
Oh, yeah, Lord de Bungalow. He's an absolute disaster. I could talk about him for a he is... So, I don't even know if you guys know, he recently turned himself permanently into a tree, and he just sits in Central Park and doesn't do anything.
There you go. You know, you vote for Blue Cloaks.
He's not even an ent. He changed his last name to sound more entish.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's an absurd person, and he's been trying to murder groundhogs across the entire city. He's just an absolute menace. I can't stand the guy.
The last time I visited my mother maiden crone on the Upper West Side of the Black City, I was knockout jousted 10 times after getting off the Portal Authority.
That's awful.
It's sick. It's sick. It's sick. It's a cesspool. Used to be a clean, nice place to live. Now it's shit.
A lot of people ask me about all the bleeding, and it's the jousts. That's what I try to tell them. I don't have a drinking problem. You know, I'm just a vampire. But the joust is the things that I get all these cuts on my head, and I start bleeding, and it's because you have these teens, and I'm not going to, you know, get into where they're from, but these teens are coming around, and they're just sort of aiming right for your temple. I got to get you guys in the boat. Come on.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
And so he sort of, like, waddles over to the boat and brings you in there. He moves to the back of the vessel and shoots out his palm and shoots out this, like, burst of, like, fire. Which kickstarts the boat forward, and then he cranks this like metallic rod that puts like a crystal there. Cuts his hand on the crystal, and then you see the fire is just like kept warm and kept glowing on this like crystal, and so it keeps shooting forward. And then he has like a little perpendicular rod that he's using to steer, like the rudder. And he's going along the river, and as you go along the river, you see the billowing smoke of the Black City. It looks like it's the worst day the Black City's ever had. It's the worst thing anyone's ever done to the Black City, and the worst thing that ever could happen to anybody anywhere. It is, like, heartbreaking to see this. Yeah,
I surely won't be forgetting this anytime soon.
No, and the realm will never forget.
I take a little crystal out of my pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I'm... No one can see I'm in the corner of the boat,
mm-hmm.
and I just I sort of whisper into it.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the best thing that could have happened to the Holy Land.
And then I put it back in my pocket.
Roger. okay, and so Yeah, the riverboat, it's right, it goes smoothly. You get to the docks of the Black City, it's sort of the north end of the Black City. You also, you know, despite your love of this wonderful place, you also remember kind of like how bizarre this place is. It's has an ongoing plague, right? So there's just these massive war horses are barreling down the street with these like bodies in them. They're being collected. There's smells of the plague, of burning clothes, whiffs of rotten flesh, things like that. The stench of these disgusting messes. You have these people, these are called unfortunates, who are men who both lack the hope to survive and self-esteem to die comfortably. They just lay face down the street, butt-ass naked, hoping to make the corpse bearer's job easier. That's all. And they're just going, come on, take me. I'm sorry. And they have the mask on while they're saying this. They're just naked otherwise. It's a disgusting, insane place. As you approach the dock, you see a family of Puerto Rican Frankensteins. They're playing in front of an open water spout. The older ones are playing dominoes. The younger couple are dancing the merengue to the authentic sounds of a Puerto Rican bard whose father is a huge fan of debt restructuring. You see all types of folks in the Black City. Like you have like zombies, ghouls, goblins. Frankensteins. It's a very kind of alarming to you guys who are either from the boonies or are straight up feral children like Matt. Usually you guys see just elves, orcs, gnomes, maybe Will. Obviously you've maybe blocked this part of your past out.
Yeah, I mean, trying to be pagan.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm walking the pagan path now. But, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. little known fact about me, I did grow up in the Black City, so I know how decadent and non-traditional
mm-hmm.
early modern cities are. It's weird that I see the masked here. Mm-hmm. The mask will not protect you from the plague. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this. The only people who die of the plague or are at any risk of dying of the plague are people who are over the age of 35.
mm-hmm.
And like, I'm just saying, like, you're already on your way out if that's the case. So like, I don't understand why I should have to worry about this. I mean, like, if you're not already over the age of 30, covered in boils, and you have a good diet and exercise, I mean, like, by that, I mean, you get a lot of nutrients, a lot of vitamins, and a lot of, and also silver. If you just chew silver.
Yes.
There's no reason whatsoever to be worried about this plague. And unless, of course, you are above the age, if you are of the ancient age of above 30, I mean, you might, I don't know, just stay inside.
Yeah, we're all 13 years old.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting up there, but we're all sad. Like, it's really sad that the great palace builder, Cheris the Great, succumbed to the plague last year. It was really, really sad. Everyone loved him. Like, it was, you know, like, Will, you live outside, and you were still like, damn, that was, like, he was still the best at building palaces. Even though you hate palaces, you couldn't mm-hmm. look at Cheris and not smile.
No.
He was a guy that everyone loved.
Yeah.
When he went out last year from the plague, it was really sad.
Yeah, Giuliano is like, oh, don't even say that. Chera and I went to many parties together. He's a wonderful guy. Really great back massages, actually. Unbelievable magic fingers, nimble fingers, him. Oh, sweat. The warmest smile in real estate, probably.
Yeah, his family and my family. Yeah, he actually paid for my seventh crusade when I was 9 years old. But he's like just an amazing guy. But Cheris was 41.
Come on, dude.
As you guys dock into the north end of the Black City, Giuliano sort of fumbles around in his pocket and he hands each of you a little crystal. He said, okay, these things, they're forged, what they are. So, okay. The way to pay for everything is through blood. Your blood and ducats. So what you do is you cut your hand on this crystal, and that's how we're going to ride the subways, okay? Everything here, you have to give a little bit of blood. The whole city runs on blood. That's kind of the way the magic works here. Also, these crystals are going to be evidence of your you being saved. There's no mask mandate here, but just, you know, just keep a low profile. And as he's saying this, you see an angel. A battalion of angels flying overhead towards the wreckage on the other side of the city. He says, those are Silwatha's guardian Athamar, okay? They're trying to clean the streets up today because Duke Cuomo ordered his orc cops to stand down. No idea why. Anyway, they're not all unblooded friendly, so stick to them as well. And some of them are real narcs. Not norks. Sorry. I love norks. Some of the best lawyers are norks. Apologize.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. We're just going to go to the subterranean way, low profile, try not to make eye contact with the Frankensteins. It's not because of the race, it's because of the species. You, and he looks to you, Matt. Are you going to be able to handle this? Like, Matt, like, you're looking at this, like, array of just, like, insane urban debauchery, people just dying in the streets, bodegas run by humanoid cats. Like, what is going through your mind? I'm so curious.
I'm just going to talk it through with Shitfuck. I'm just going to keep.
Yeah.
He's going to be smelling things and looking around. Let me know if anything gets too weird.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to be looking at the ground.
Yeah. Shitfuck
this is too much stimulation.
Like, Shitfuck's eyes are just like bouncing around his skull. Like, there's just so many different like smells and sights and stimulation. He's like, this is, oh, crazy. Crazy, nothing like home. But he sort of looks up to you and he sees that you're looking down at the ground. He's like, okay, like he has somebody else here who's also just like what the fuck is this awful, god-awful place? Giuliano looks at you. He looks at you looking at the dog, and he's like, okay, you're themed fine. And he gives you the crystal. So you all have the crystals. You guys want to go to the Subterranean Way?
Yes, let's travel by the Subterranean Way and amuse ourselves with the Showtime jesters. It's many tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
I love it when they do that.
Yeah, you walk down these cobblestone steps of the Subterranean Way. Inside, it almost looks like the catacombs, like what the catacombs maybe would have been like back in the day.
Yeah, except I wish I'm dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yo! And it's just kind of brighter, has these like everlasting lamplight. The hubbub of the hoi polloi rather than the scurrying of vermin, right? You approach the turnstile entrance to the Magitek train, and you see people, like, without feeling, just bloody themselves, just, like, cut themselves, put the crystal tap the crystal on the tablet reader and just walk through the turnstile. Just without a thought in the world about how insane this is.
The turnstiles are all Iron Maidens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody, and some of the. Sometimes there's a hold up at the turnstiles because somebody's just like, oh yeah, just like loving it, just loving giving their blood to the city. You see a gnome try to hop the turnstile, and he's just grabbed by the scruff of his neck by an orc cop and carted away. You see Giuliano. He walks up to the turnstile. He starts to enthusiastically demonstrate how it works, pricking his finger with the crystal, tapping the crystal on the tablet reader. Turnstile opens. He walks in. So I don't know what you guys want to do. You want to walk through the turnstile? You want to bop around? What are you thinking?
I mean, like, when I'm on the Subterranean Way, it's like the key to a good Subterranean Way experience is limiting the amount of time that you're subterranean. Yeah, I gotta say, let's go in the tunnels.
Mm-hmm,
gotta point A to point B. It's the most efficient way to do it in the Black Absolutely. City.
I bet you guys probably knew this, but I used to take the green path of the Subterranean Ways to the other part of the Black City. To visit Painter Harlots. It's a very fun part of my life. So let's hop back on. Yeah, it was. Those Novus Academus Harlots were. Whew,
mm-hmm.
What a good time in my life.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. You see Giuliano, who's like 500.
Yeah, I like put my hand up to high five.
Yeah, yeah. He puts his hand up to your hand to high five, and like kind of just gently glides his hand down your hand. But he's not like doing it in any other way, except he's just a freak. Just absentmindedly doing that. So you guys go through the turnstile. Matt, as you walk to the turnstile, and do you prick your finger? Do you do this? Like, is that what you want to do?
What's up? I'm just gonna like shoulder check through it, see what happens.
Hell yeah. Okay, cool. So yeah, you walk up to the turnstile and you shoulder check through it, or you try to shoulder check through it, and you just go through. And you look behind you and you see a sign that says King's Discount. And you see a guy on the other side be like, wait, buddy, hold on. Come back here. Trying to get you to come back here. He's trying to figure out what happened. This does this sometimes. Come back here.
Fuck you. I'm not going anywhere. What? Just gonna keep
fucking
going.
Hell. Oh, god damn it. Fucking stupid fucking machine. And you guys keep going as the train starts to pull up. Of course, fuck shit just walks under the turnstile. He doesn't give a shit. He's a dog. The train pulls up. It's screeching to like a horrid stop. Yeah, you could tell that however old this train is, it'll never, ever, ever be updated. You go in there, and it's fairly full. You know, people are kind of panicking. They're trying to go from one place to another after the tower fell. It's a fairly full train. You see a Loxodon sleeping soundly along a bench. You see a bubble blowing from his trunk. Two halflings on the other end of the car are cranking a Magitek box as loudly as they can for everyone to hear. You see an off-duty orc cop pats for his sword and realizes it's not there and just sort of shrugs. And standing arms akimbo at the front of the train car, so sort of like farther down from you guys, is one of the Sowatha Guardian Asimar. Their eyes are glowing white and with like righteous angelic fury, and they intently watch everything that's going on the subway, as is their job, or self-appointed job. Volfil, have you ridden this? You've ridden the Subterranean Way. Did you often ride it, or you said the best way to go from point A to point B?
I spent roughly one third of the first 18 years of my life on the Subterranean Way, and it's really sort of second nature to me. So I elbow Matt and Arathorn. I make a point to point out to them one of the black cities, like just sort of like a real black city tree. I'm pointing out the advertising tapestry for the famous apothecary, Dr. Zizmore, who promises beautiful boil-free skin.
Yeah. Wow.
Go. This is great. Like, this is really what the Black City is all about. Even under Lord de Bungalow's reign, you can't take away, like, the heart of the city. Even though it's dying now. Obviously, it's dying. But, like, just hearing that the music those lads over there are playing, they're playing one of my favorite musicians, Nary Coinless Once More, Young Lad.
Oh my god. And you see, you get to another stop, and you the doors open, they like crank open, like, and you see a little goblin get on with a tattered cape and a bucket atop of his head. You can feel his anticipation as he stands right in the center of the train, and you can see everyone else's controlled and polite exasperation as he says, "Greetings all! My name is Malik Nini Obama, the Goblin King, but you can call me Nini. I am the true king of goblins, but I was cast aside and forgotten by my brother, the once Muslim king. Now, I am seeking donations, anything you can give, so that I can start rebuilding my kingdom and cleansing the streets of the tyranny brought by the blue cloaks." And he takes his bucket off of his head and starts holding it out. "Please, I will take any coin or blood you can give in my crown." The guardian Asimar behind him moves swiftly towards it. He says, "Citizen, it is illegal and dangerous to solicit the blood of strangers." The off-duty orc cop just like gets up and goes to the next car. He's like, I don't want to give a shit. And he says, "Oh, please, sir, have a heart. I'm a humble goblin prince. I just wish to rebuild my kingdom. Create a realm of peace for all, unblooded or otherwise." And you see the guardian who says, "Regardless of my personal feelings, it is our duty to uphold order. That is what Curtis wants. That is what is right to do. And your flagrant disobedience has given me sufficient reason to do something bad to you." You see Nini, he's like sort of like looking around, fearful. His eyes meet yours for a second. He's like looking for help. You see Giuliano kind of go to you guys, go, no, let's just try to keep a low profile here, okay? We're lucky the towers are down. There's nobody after you guys. Let's try to keep a low profile. But what do you guys want to do?
Being an experienced Subterranean Way navigator, like, I just, you know, like, obviously you are face-to-face with humanity, goblin entity, and you see all kinds of inhumanity and in goblin manity. So I do what all Black City residents do when confronted with something like this on the Subterranean Way, which is look at my feet and pretend nothing's happening.
Yeah, you see Giuliano nod, like, approvingly. What about you two, Matt?
I do, like, kind of want to help this guy out, but I'm, you know, I got to follow the Black City expert. I similarly, like, I put my hands in my pocket, and I take that crystal that I was talking to earlier.
Yeah.
I put it in my ear, and I pretend I'm listening to tunes.
Nary Coinless again.
Yeah, my
favorite. Yeah, new album. Sincerely Coinless just came out.
Yeah, and Matt, you're just sort of following their lead. You don't want to like ruffle any feathers.
I'm just talking to the dog about the cool smells that we've had in our lives, reminiscing about the coolest things we've smelled.
I had one time really sweet smell underneath the table. So much different sweet sticky. You?
Shit, one time.
Oh, shit good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What shit? Who shit? My shit good. He starts to like sniff his own
butt.
I'll
be real with you. You got mids. It's mids.
Mids? No. Yeah. Mids is the real loud.
I mean, yeah, I can get off on, I will absolutely be gone off it, but others might just find it only be mids. I'm sorry.
And he looks completely dumbfounded. Like, how could mids not be the real loud? It gets you there gradual.
You
get the headache. It's good. It's, and like, he starts to like.
It's just, I've been, you know, I've been on crusade. I've been on that that Middle Eastern shit. It's far beyond. I've never experienced it.
The
camel.
Must take me.
Oh my god!
Are there
god.
Children in the crusade?
Yeah. Oh yeah, bunch of.
Oh, you must take me. I'd love to eat.
After this, buddy, we'll do it.
Yeah. And so meanwhile, you see that goblin Malik Nini Obama just like get like brutally like citizens arrested by this Asimar and hauled off the train. Giuliani sort of looks at you guys and gives you guys like a quiet thumbs up as your train comes to a stop and you get out at the station. It's the same sort of situation, these turnstiles. You can open them up, you go up the cobblestone steps. But right away you see a little Orthodox Norkish baby Grinch with long green curls. And he starts going, "Excuse me, sir, are you Jewish? Excuse me, sir, are you Jewish? Excuse me, sir," and he looks to you, Felix. "Are you Jewish?"
"Not anymore, no."
"Well, you look pretty Jewish. I'm sorry about what happened in the banking district, by the way."
"Forget it. No. I'm a Catholic man. I'm a Catholic man. I know all the Catholic stuff. Oh. I'm still... Nothing happened where I wouldn't have to be Catholic anymore."
"Okay, well, if you say so."
"No, I like know so. I know so. I do confession. I do all that stuff."
"Oh, okay. Oh, what's your roll deception? Yeah, I have roll deception. What am I doing? I gotta can't just riff." Yeah, the 20 is good. Yeah. The Grinch goes, "All right, whatever. Fine. You're not Jewish. Okay." And he starts turning to everybody else, asking if they're Jewish.
Why does everyone always assume this is the case with me? Is it the way I talk? Is it because I'm from the Upper West Side of the Black City? I'm not Jewish. A lot has been written on this subject."
"Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do." What do you say, Matt? Matt, do you just like look past him, like with this little Grinch with the curls asks you if you're Jewish?
I mean, if he's asking, that's his problem.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you guys keep walking through. Giuliano's like, "Okay, we're making very good time. This is really good." Okay. And as you sort of walk out of the station, you see a horse and carriage going down, and you see a protective magical barrier around this hideous looking like hobgoblin ghoul, who you would recognize as the Duke Cuomo. And he's shouting using a thaumaturgy cantrip so that everyone can hear. "Okay, I want to be clear that everyone should remain under control." He clicks his thumb to his finger, and a projection comes up in the air, and a slide changes. "I did not take down the tower. Do not listen to," and he presses it again, and it's a picture of a blue cloak. "The blue cloaks, I did not do it, nor did I touch," and he presses a picture again, it's just a stock photo of just young women. "Girls, I didn't do that either. I'm going to be closing all portals in the city until we get this situation under," and it's just another slide again, "control." And he's just like sort of rolling down the street while he's doing that. Giuliano turns to you guys, he goes, Okay, we gotta start moving. He's trying to close all the portals. I knew that fucker did this." Like, just unquestioning. He's like, "Yeah, he did this. He did this 100%. He did this."
I mean, what he did with the plague and retirement homes in this province, where it was just like everyone over the age of the 35, he stuck them in a barn. He stuck them in plague barns. And he got rid of them. He just got rid of them. And I gotta say, pretty good idea.
Yeah, no, I'm not, like, I mean, as somebody who's around 573 years old, I'm a little offended, but I also respect what you're trying to say here, and I'm going to hear you out, and do you have any sisters? Never mind, let's just keep going, let's just keep walking. Yeah.
In pagan society, it is not natural to live past the age of 25.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree here, like, I don't love what he did, causing the deaths of 700,000 over 30s.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. But what's really unforgivable to me, like the worst thing he did was floating to the princess's chambers all those times. And they're still letting his brother be on Scrolls.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He hasn't been fired from fucking Scrolls. Jesus.
You see in the distance as he's going through the slides, you see one, and he goes, "Whoops!" And it's a screenshot of the Ring app with Jennifer Rubin outside of his door. Yeah, so you guys keep walking. I mean, like, everything's going pretty smoothly. I mean, people are still, like, crying and screaming, and there's still things going on.
It's a black city.
It's a black city, though. So, yeah. Right, it's just sort of like most people are kind of just doing their thing, and some people are just dealing with, you know, you see a banker who's worried about his acquaintance rapist named Brett threatened to jump out of this building because his finances will be ruined. You see a big, tall, fat lady in an elegant dress. She walks like a tiny, fluffy dog. The trailing the dog is a worried-looking bald man. He radiates a lot of weakness, and he just like tries to empty his coin purse inside out and says in a black city patois, "Darling, if of course I want to make you happy, but I already spent the kid's dowry money buying you that painting." And you just see like all these like little vignettes dotted throughout the black city that you're all very familiar with and are definitely from this century and not the funnier last century.
And you also see who you recognize as Prince Blake, known as Blake the Flayed Man, is the young scion of the Red Cloak Movement and of the Holy Land, is being knockout jousted by a group of BLM style. They're dressed in the BLM style. You can tell.
we have to help him. We have to help him. The Holy Land security is our security.
Amen.
We have to help Blake the Flayed Man.
Okay. Yeah. You see this, twinkish looking, Nork just getting jousted over and over again. They're just running by him, knocking him back and forth, back and forth. Do you guys want to help him out?
Joust related crimes are up 10,000% from their all time low of 0%.
Okay, yeah. So you guys approach Blake the Flayton as he's being knockout gamed, and he's saying, "Help, help!" What does he sound like? I don't know what he sounds like.
He just sounds like 1,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say, ruffians, desist from your harassment of this young flayed man.
You see them, one of them just runs by and punches him again. He goes, "No! No way!" And just like keeps punching him in the head. Or you could try roll persuasion, though. Okay, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Like, "No way! No way, man! Absolutely not!"
I would harangue you again to desist, but like honestly, just watching this right now is pretty funny. So I'm just gonna like, just hang back.
One of the thugs grabs Blake the Flayed Man's hand and just starts making him punch himself with his hand, and he's going, "Why are you oppressing yourself? Why are you oppressing yourself?"
So yeah, you guys keep walking through the city streets, going through some of the narrow crevices that Giuliano knows from his time being a lord here, and you reach the portal. And the portal is all but abandoned at this point. Nobody has an Amtrak shard to get through it except for Pete. Cuomo has closed down the city.
Wait, didn't I get the Amtrak shard for
you?
Pete?
You do, though, yeah. Yes. You have it, so nobody else does. But the portal is all but abandoned. However, strangely enough, all of this has taken place only within 17 minutes as one of the self-driving Zeppelins created by Maloney and Tusk crashes into the second tower. You hear Cuomo go, "That was not planned. That one was not me." And and it starts to fall on top of the second portal. You guys have to start running too. So everyone roll athletics right now.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah. Matt and your dog, you're sprinting. You know danger when you see it. You know how to get to the portal. Felix, your Norkishness is not helping you here. What's going on? Are you tripping on your shoelaces? What's happening?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly
No, it's not the shoelaces.
Erithor never learned to tie his bootlaces.
No, I know how to.
You just choose not to.
No, that's not the problem. Like, the shoelaces themselves are fine. I just like. I sort of like. You know, it's the bungalow's black city. Like the streets are unpaved.
Absolutely.
And I kind of like trip on a like an uneven sidewalk.
Giuliano's trying to usher you guys on. as you're running. He's trying to help pick you back up, Felix. But the tower is collapsing. Matt and Will, you're basically there. But Felix, it looks like it might be... You might not make it until you hear the sound of a beautiful, beautiful anthem. As six, you think, perhaps, jet-powered automatons. Jet, dare I say. Magical jet-powered automatons fly into the scene. And what do they do?
Screaming out of the sky is Boris and his five comrades. And he shouts,
Comrades! We will stop the tower! Get to the portal! Come on, Big Joe 1, Big Min 2, Big Hugo 3, Big Muammar 4, and Big Slobodan 5, assemble!
You see them just combine into a giant fantasy Voltron and hold up this tower over the portal as it is collapsing around you.
Yeah. Felix, you're going to have a couple more athletics checks as long as he can hold it up.
Okay. I'm rolling again.
Fuck yes. Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
That would have been very
born athlete.
It would have been a very weird thing I would have to figure out. Yeah. You make it into the run and sprint. And what's Boris and friends, the Voltron? What happens as they run into the portal?
You see a wave of Cuomo's hobgoblin goons as try to start attacking them as the tower collapses around them and their giant metal mouth just on hinges in a Godzilla breath ray of Havana ray of sickness just engulfs the city as the everything just collapses around them.
You hear the sounds of a thousand tummy aches from the city, Black City, as you guys tumble out of the portal. The second you do, you're in the capital. Your long journey, reaching the destination you've been trying to get to for so long. The Amtrak portal, it deposits you into the capital station. The structure is ornate, it's gilded, and it's rich. Too rich, it's putrid extravagance. And before you step out of the landing area, a fussy elf accosts you and affixes a mask to your head, or tries to. I swear, these Black City buffoons have no respect for the king. Please keep the mask on while you remain in the city.
I would like to argue with the elf.
Absolutely, go for it.
I have a medical condition. I can't wear the mask.
Oh, yeah. Roll deception with advantage. That is... He's going to maybe buy that.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, the elf's like, oh, is it Lyme? I'm so sorry.
Well, actually, I have this this really bad disease they just discovered. It's called Middle Earth Syndrome. And actually, like, they didn't really have the diagnosis for this when I was a kid, but you have to take Vivanzium serum. Or else you can't focus on like spells or anything like that. And I'm
Sounds awful. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. But part of it is that I have like low blood pressure and I need more oxygen than other people to just do anything.
No, that's I can't even believe that. I might have been canceled if you didn't say anything. Yeah. Thank you for stopping me. No,
you're welcome. No, I'm happy I held you accountable. Do you have any pills, by the way, like tablets?
No.
Okay.
Do you have any diseases I should know about? Otherwise, you need to put on a mask. The dog.
I gave them my disease by accident.
Roll deception again.
Fuck yeah.
A 20. He's like, oh, well, they don't look as sickly as you, but okay. I trust that this is true. And he goes to pet Shitfuck, and Shitfuck just like growls at this guy. Oh dear. And he backs away. So, well, enjoy your stay in the capital city, and happy January 6th.
A solemn January 6th to you as well.
And he sort of bristles at that. You guys walk into the capital city. It looks like a brutalist enclave by the way of Mobius. It's like geometric and imposing, but it's sterile. And like sort of strategically colorful with like weird like slices of paint. It looks very modern. There are hints of like old world Baroque architecture, but it's been like paved over by this like newfangled bullshit. It's like the streets are like newly ashlar slate, like that kind of like just like so pristine, meant to pave over the blood probably of your pillow men who died last year. The storefronts are all uniform, general store, armory, weapon shop, you know, simple as. And there are three places, though, here where there's any remote flamboyance. and punctuates a sea of grays and smattering pastels. One is in the greenery. There's some greenery here. It's all magically, artificially developed and maintained by sapping the ley lines from the earth. The wealthy citizenry, who have their porcelain mask and don their like finest ensembles, you know, of decadent clothing. Finally, this epic, endless sea of 5EG spires in the Alabaster Palace. If Fausti has eyes for Aphedonia, the rest of his senses are here. So proceed with caution. Whatever caution you had in the Black City, here more so.
I hate the capital city. I can't stand it every time I come here. I mean, like, the Black City should be the capital of the realm, in my opinion. But then it would have all the capital dwellers would probably be living and working in the Black City. So scratch that idea. More than anything, I hate King Washington's monument because a lot of people think the Egyptians invented the obelisk, but actually it was the ancient Celts. Ancient Celts are the first people to use obelisks. And it was part of our... the Celts were the first people to pierce the veil of the heavens and slip the surly bonds of the disc Earth, and visited the goddess Luna. The ancient Celts were cuckolded by the goddess Luna.
It's completely canon in this world. Yeah. All this stuff is canon in this world. That is all 100% true.
The first pyramids were also Celtic.
That is also true. No arguing.
A Black City resident hears Will complaining about this and goes, well, actually, if you've seen Lingman Wilde's operetta about Hamilton, you would know that the Black City once was the capital. But unfortunately, if you heard the song, the vestibule where it happened, you would know.
I cast Stinking Cloud.
It was the result of a deal.
A Hamilton freak comes up to you and begins to correct your history on these things. And you immediately cast Sticking Cloud. He's just a citizen, so he can't, like, resist this, really. So he just starts hacking up blood and, like, and just, like, choking. You see rushing over to you a porcelain-masked man who looks like a guard, but he grabs you by the shoulder, Volphil, and he says, you, come with me! And roll insight.
Black City.
Fuck yes.
1776 BC.
24. A 24 on insight. You see this man, he comes up to you, and with that 24, even though he's wearing the mask, you would recognize those wet, stingy eyes anywhere. It's Fair Joshagad.
Joshagad!
Oh my gosh.
Joshagad, you're here!
Shh, I'm trying to keep a low profile.
Oh my,
I've got to pretend to accost and arrest you. Come on.
Oh, your jests and minstrelries lift my weary spirit so much, Joshagad.
Of course. Come on.
And he brings you over to, like, sort of the side. And you see, as you're walking through, he's, like, leading you through this, like, crowd of all these, like, decadent people who are at the porcelain mask. He's decadent D.C. capital city citizens. And you notice that there are other people who look sort of like Joshagad. They're wearing a similar attire. It's like this this sort of lavenderish color, similar to the thigh pillow color. Correct me if that's not lavender. I think it is, though. They're sort of like clearly a whisper network, right? That's meant to sort of like be dotted throughout the city and down throughout all the crowds. And as Joshagad leads you away to a back alley where there are other pillow men there, pillow serfs there. And they gather you around, and Joshagad lifts his mask off his head. He's like, "Oh, Jesus! I can't ever sing in that thing. I tell you, how are you guys doing? How'd you guys get here?"
Well, we took the Portal Authority. We used the Amtrak shard that I was able to retrieve from the smoking viscera of a giant rat corpse, or rather just the sort of conglomeration of several thousand rat corpses in some sort of cruel pantomime of the human form. Got the Amtrak shard, came through the Portal Authority, and now we are here to take back the realm. Patriots are in control.
Yes, this is great. I was able to... to find my way here after the Black City fell, but it's gonna happen. It's gonna go down. I have some of the men here, and you recognize some of them. You see, Stinky is there. Pokey didn't make it. Ricky didn't make it. Flyman is there, but he has a cast on his leg.
And he just gives you guys a thumbs up. Josh Agad sort of turns to you all and he says, okay, so if you guys still, even without Lindale, you guys still going to go after Fausti and the king?
I go after Fausti and the king with the name of Lindell on my lips. If as my last breath, I will spit out the name of Lindell as I bring this cursed city to its knees.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want to me. You can call me right before a huge disaster and tell me not to go somewhere. And I'll do it, okay? You can do whatever you want. But the moment you start killing my best friend in the world, mm-hmm. Lindell, mm-hmm. That is when I'm ready to go fucking crazy.
Yeah. I gotta say, we do this for the honor and for the lives of soldiers of the King's Realm and gendarmes of the King's Realm. But if any of them try to stop me from doing what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna fucking kill them.
Yeah.
You hear shit fuck goes, arr! Like, which Matt you can hear as for Lindale, like excitedly. And you hear Josh guy, he says, yes, I'm going to avenge my wife. Well, I'm in a polycule, the Clan Babbitt, and
very traditional. I support that.
And when she died last year, our whole clan was just heartbroken that we could lose such a beautiful our beautiful mother. Our beautiful matriarch. Okay, if you're going to do this, there's two ways that we can go in. I'm going to give the signal soon to invade. When we do that, it's going to be crazy. So either we can go through the front. You guys can go through the front. We'll fight them off as much as we can, or you're going to have to find a side entrance of some kind. A side entrance, maybe less fraught, but you'll still have to find it. The front, you know where it's going to lead. It's going to lead you to the palace, but there's no guarantees. So, and you hear Stinky go,
oh, I don't know. It's just so dangerous. I don't know if we can do this alone without Lindale.
I know, without Lindale.
I produce, so we have Stinky, Gad, all four of them. I take out 6 Percocets.
Fuck.
Or Percolises now. And I go, no one, and I mean nobody in the world, felt more of a loss when that awful, awful, awful creature killed our friend Lindell.
Yeah.
I had only known him for about an hour, but I could already really tell what was going on with him, and I was the last person he ever talked to. He talked to me.
It's true.
But it is true. My words are the last thing he heard. But he was a special man. He was the type of guy who would go into a Gaul and rescue 3 adventurers he had never met. He was the type of guy who would bring you into his special hangout that had no porcelain mask mandate and give you special tablets that you need because they're medicine.
Yes.
But how did he know he was that guy? You're not born going, oh, I can make the greatest pillow in the world. I can end the practice of pig pillows. I can change everything. No, he needed to find it in him. How did he find it in him? These. And I lift a tablet in the air, and I take one. And then I hand the remainders, one to everyone, including the dog. And I go, let's find our inner Lindell.
Yeah.
Because he is not, I will not see him end his ashes. Together, we are brothers of the tablet. I will always be with you, and I take it.
For Lindale! And they all take the Percocets. For Lindale! Like Josh is the guy singing. If you guys take the tablets, you all get 5 temporary HP.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
How it works in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
Charisma disadvantage?
Oh, no effect on your charisma. Oh my God.
No, it actually increases your charisma.
That's not been my experience.
Oh, wait, no, I'm talking about the energy dust. It's a charisma multiplier. Mm-hmm. I got to say, Lindell, his pillows may be soft, but his death has made my heart hard. And it can only be soothed with the blood of fellow patriots. And I'm
right.
Like, I'm looking at these dupes, and I'm just like, all right. I mean, like this pike and spear fodder here. They'll be a good distraction for us. We're gonna do what we gotta do.
Yeah, we amp these rubes up. Except for Gad, we love him.
Flyboy feels the perk hit, And he looks around and he goes, being in an alley with four brothers in arms who love you is so much better than being in a moat full of eels who are hungry as fuck.
I hate being in a moat full of sharks.
I couldn't feel you anymore, brother. Like, I don't do this shit for how many songs, how many bards say my name. That shit means fucking nothing to me. The amount of coins I'm given, I don't fucking care. I do this because it's real.
Yo, I just, like, we're going to bring in our boy right here. He plays the liar. He doesn't know any of this shit. He doesn't know any of this shit about the Capitol. He doesn't know any of this shit about the mandate or the plague or anything. He just does dope shit on the liar. Honestly. Yo, could you just give us a song here?
as if on cue, you hear from the main gathering area, the main part of the plaza, you see a stage, and you see that a show is about to be put on. You hear the strum of a lyre almost on cue, and you see a beautiful, beautiful man with a porcelain mask that is transparent, and he takes the stage, and he begins to speak, and he says, good day to all. My name is Fair Randall of the Rainbows. Jester under the good King Job, and I have a little show prepared for you all. But when the Tangerine Tyrant's revolt failed this day last year, do you hear the peasants sing? Singing the song of straight white men. It's a tantrum of the Cheeto. Who will not be king again? When you're and Josh Agad is just fucking fuming and going like, and he just goes, yeah! And just like runs through the crowd and jumps on Randall of the Rainbows and just like starts punching him, and he just like gets up and he goes, everyone attack! And just like that, the fucking revolt begins. You see the pillow serfs throughout the crowd. They all take off their masks and draw out their pillow swords. You guys in your alley, you see Flyman with his bum leg start charging through the crowd, just slaying anyone who's there. Bloodletting has begun. It is you see the orc cops by the Alabaster Palace start to grow a little bit alarmed of this, but they're not totally certain of it. But the Fausti Towers, the spires, they're glowing, and you see the harpies start to fly in, the squad, and grip themselves on the towers, look down, and look for enemies. And as everyone starts to square up, the battle has begun. What do you guys want to do?
I just got to say, like, this is very inspiring, seeing patriots rise up. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we are very well facing the great cuckoldry that is death today. But mm-hmm. I want to say to all my patriots, all of my friends and fellow Fredonians here, like, yes, if we run... Yeah, we may live for now, but would you trade it all when we're on our deathbeds a week from now? Would you trade it all just 1 week when very likely we'll die just a week later, you know, because you know, life expectancy. Would you trade it all for just one moment right now, one shot to truly live as free men and kill as many people as possible?
And as you're saying this, and as the chaos is swarming around you, you see a guard sort of pop in through the alleyway, and he's got this beautiful mustache, and he's not an orc like the other ones, and he's taken off his mask. His name is Tedis Lasso, and he looks at you all, and he says, okay, we're going to try to play fair here, right, guys? And he takes out his sword. Roll for initiative. All right, so the battle's begun. Chaos has ensued. One of the orc cops, Tedis Lasso, a lieutenant in the orc cop brigade, has a... approached you. Will, you are going to go first.
You know, I've relied mainly on spiritual and sorcery-based attacks, you know, sort of cleric-based attacks,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't yet used my trusty shillelagh, and I feel the fire in me, and I would like to feel bones, the vibration, the crack of bones breaking beneath my base shillelagh. So, attack.
Go for it. 11. He's going to sidestep that with that 11. He sidesteps that pretty easy. He goes, hey, whoa there, buddy. You can't win all at once. You got to lose a little bit along the way. And he pats you on the cheek, pedantically, you think. And yeah, that's that. You're up now, Matt.
It's clobbering time. Going to use that fucking God Killer.
15, that does hit. Do go for damage for that. Nice, yeah. You just, you just jam your axe in the, on the side of Ted Lasso as he, like, pats Will on the cheek. You just, like, fucking just swipe, just chop off his hand. Like, you just, like, and he's like, oh, whoopsie daisy. Looks like my hand and my wife left me. And, you get to attack him again, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
13, not quite. So you swing again just at the missing space, I guess, between the hand and the his arm. You have your dog, though, too, now. You have Shitfuck.
Shitfuck. Go for the balls. Do it.
Balls! And you see him, and, like, now when he's fights with you, he sort of takes on these, like, slightly bearish, like, features. He gets a little bit hairier, and he gets a little bit more, his snout gets a little bit more, a little bit sharper than a pit bull's. And he sort of, like, bear runs towards Lasso's balls, and he's gonna go for an attack. And he tries to chomp, but he misses just barely. And he turns to you like, did I do good? Again.
You did fine.
You're up, Felix.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah?
Your eyes may be clear, but your heart's about to be filled with this blade, and you can lose. I take out the Abrahamic bastard sword.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Okay. 22. Yeah, that hits. Roll for damage. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Boom.
You describe what you do to him. He hasn't quite died, though, but describe what you do to him. That's pretty bad.
All right. He's about to put his hand on my shoulder, but I do a cool, like, duck under move. Like, I'm changing levels,
yes,
similar to a Thai boxer.
Yeah.
And I do a little, cool little flip move, and I look a woman while I'm doing the flip move okay, of the sword, like, flipping the hilt around, so I'm holding it like a dagger. Yeah. I make eye contact with a woman for way too long while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then I kneel down, and I plunge it back into his lower midsection. And then do a whole other flip. I flip it around my wrist and then hold it up in the air. And I go, my family has been in the Vision Scroll business for a long time. This is for what you've done to Streaming Scroll.
He goes, wow, hey, was that Ty, buddy? That was great. He says that, and it, like, a bit of blood comes out of his mouth. It's now his turn. He's like, okay, it was all fun and games, but I'm starting to get a little upset, boys. And he suddenly, his face becomes very grave, and he opens his mouth, and this ray of sunshine comes out at you guys. I need you all to roll Constitution saving throws. Oofy doofy. All right, oof. There you go. Okay.
One guy always saves the day.
It's true. Yeah. Will, Matt, you guys take 5 damage from this. Felix, you take 10. As this, like, ray of sunshine comes out towards you. And now that this ray of sunshine and just pure fucking, you know, like, sincerity is coming out towards you guys, as you move through it, you're going to continue to take 1d4 damage if you move through this sunshine. He's just going to keep his mouth open. It's the only way that anyone will pay attention. But now it's back to the top of the order. Will, it's your turn. He has this ray of sunshine on you, and it's coming out towards you.
You know what? You know what the antidote to sunshine is? That's right. Moonbeam, motherfucker.
Fuck yeah,
suck
dude.
Suck on that.
Ooh.
Playboy,
okay,
yes.
Hold on a second. All right, here we go.
Fuck yeah, dude. Okay, cool. All
right.
So he's got a roll with Moonbeam. Let me get the my Moonbeam description out. Perfect. Amazing. Yes. So in a perfect mirror image of this, of his ability, he also now has to make a Constitution saving throw. Let's see how he does as this moonbeam shoots down, and you don't move, so you don't take additional radiant damage. And unfortunately, he does a pretty good Constitution saving throw. So he does still take half the damage. So of that 15, he takes... Oh, okay. He literally has 1 HP. Okay. He's just like dying, and like his mouth is open and bloody. And he's just like trying to like put the sunshine back on you.
He like coughs and sputters and says, "Guess I should have listened to the Wu-Tang Clan when they told me to protect my neck."
God, fucking hate him.
I blow the moon smoke off my fingers.
Yeah,
you know, game's easy, boys.
Yeah,
hope you'll enjoy making love to a woman with your mouth in hell.
Now it's your turn again, Matt.
This guy is fucking clever ass puns are infuriating me, and I'm filled with rage.
Yes,
I'm in rage mode.
As you rage, your dog also now basically turns into this half pit bull, half dire bear, and sort of like stands by your side. And he goes, "Let's fucking go!" Like he's ready to attack with you.
Let's do it.
Attack, God Killer. Yeah, that hits. Oh yeah, I mean, describe your kill. He's barely alive.
I go from the bottom up, crotch first, up through his midsection, so that everything just explodes out like funfetti.
And he explodes out. While you're approaching him, you hear him going, "Ted Lasso, ain't nothing to fuck with." Ted Lasso, and you just like, yeah, and you just ruin his life. Thank God. The viscera spreads against the alley walls. As the battle continues to ensue, you look over to the side and see it going on. You see your pillow serfs could use your help. So if you want to charge in there, you guys can just charge in there, and these orc cops, you guys can just do attack rolls and just fucking slice through them until you get to the ones that are really tough. So that's what you're kind of going to be able to do right now. And that's also how you're going to be able to cut. If you wanted to go through the side entrance, you can cut through that way as well. But it's up to you. You see the harpies are like now shooting Fausty gas on these on the pillow surfs as they're coughing up phlegm and blood. It's looking pretty brutal out there.
Send a stinking cloud towards the orc cops?
Yes, you can. Yes.
All right. Let's go for the side entrance. The front entrance, that's for all the rubes we riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Their lives are the leaves. We are the roots.
Yes.
We are the roots of Fritonia. They are the leaves. They are the disposables.
Okay. Cool.
Right. I have been on the side my entire life. Let's do this.
All right. I'm casting a stinking cloud at the orc cops.
Hell
give
yeah.
Give them something to think about. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, you cast this disgusting stinking cloud at the orc cops. I'm going to roll con save for them, even though you can just cut through them like paper. Let's just see how bad this is for them. Yeah, they got a 2. Yeah, they're just like hacking up and coughing. It's a perfect stinking cloud. You're going to be able to, like, with advantage, stealthily sneak off to the side after doing that. And as you see the battle going on, you helped kind of turn the tide a little bit. But it's still looking kind of grim. You see Josh Agad is being held down by an orc cop. And he's like, "Let me go! Let me go!" You see like Stinky holds his hand up on his nose, but one of the orc cops pokes him in both of his eyes. It's not looking good. And you hear Josh Agad, he goes, "I thought the storm was supposed to come.
Patriots, yeah, Patriots. No. Don't be afraid to lay down your lives. Maiden, 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 mother crone, please."
And as you shout this prayer, suddenly the storm does come. And you see from crashing through the King Washington Monument, obliterating the King Lincoln Monument, is this literal personification of a storm. In the shape of none other than Mikaius Lindale. And as he is massive, and he starts crushing the spires, he says, "Boys, I got it! I'm coming back!" And he starts fucking crushing the spires, smashing the ground, destroying the fucking bridge to get into the Capitol. He's helping clear the way for you. He looks to you all and he says, "I couldn't be prouder of you. I didn't know this was the literal storm. Qanando, he's a genius prophet. Can you believe this? I'm the storm. It's me. I'm the storm." And he just starts like, "Wee!" And he starts spinning around in circles, slapping the harpies around. And Josh Agad is able to like find the resolve and push off that guy who is spitting at him and then hold him down and go, "Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?" And making the guy hit himself now too. It's the tide of the battle is turning. The stinking cloud, Lindale showing up as the storm. Things could go well. You guys still going to the side door at this point? I don't know if you like want to nod to Lindale, say anything to him.
I want to just make like a big gesture up to the sky. Mm-hmm. And I pantomime like I have a pillow under my head, and you see a little tear rolling down my cheek.
I extend both of my arms up to the sky,
mm-hmm,
in the praise the storm gesture.
Hell yeah. And Matt, what do you have? What feelings do you have about Lindale?
He's like this weird, sweaty guy. I didn't like making eye contact with him. Rest in piss.
Yeah, you see Shitfuck. Shitfuck howls because he was nice to him, like, and then, like, sort of settles down. But he's, like, excited to see him. You see Lindale, he looks at you boys, and he says, I hope you guys still know to take out Fausti once and for all, and then the king.
We know, sir. And believe you me, all members of our party that you met, all of us universally are happy that you are now an eternal being. That we can never lose. And will always literally be with us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, once in a while, I think I gotta, like, dissipate or something. But otherwise, yeah, I'm just around, man. You could just sort of shout. I'll show up.
Michael. Praise the storm. Praise the storm. Hallelujah.
Praise the storm. Absolutely. Praise He's just like storm. Swiping at enemies while you're just chatting with him now.
Hallelujah actually is a Celtic word. It was taken and repurposed for modern patriarchal purposes.
Yeah, I'll try anything once.
Seriously, I'm in the capital, not the Black City. I don't really know anyone here. So if you could send me a scrying stone for a guy, maybe, that would be a big help.
Yeah. Okay. Is Stinky still alive? Oh, good. Okay. Stinky. And you see Stinky, who's just like, he's rubbing his eyes. Like,
yeah, what?
You just give him a thing. Give him a, he wants drugs.
Oh, okay.
And you see him like stepping over dead bodies and he like gives you a stone tablet. And he's like,
yeah, this guy's got shit. Yeah, you go.
And he turns around and starts fighting again. And Lindale goes, go fly, my children. And he spins around again and grabs one of the harpies. He says, I'm taking you with me, sweetheart. And he just spins all the way up into the sky with the harpies screeching. And you don't see them. But yeah, the way to the side door is still, it's still fraught, but you guys have that stealth advantage. The tide of the battle here looks like it's changed, though. You don't have to worry so much about it. So roll for stealth to see if you can get there. Okay. God damn.
I drop my sword on the ground. It makes the loudest noise possible. Like I'm farting.
How is it possible that this our friend who's essentially a Kasper Hauser but raised by bears, how the hell is he the stealthiest one of us? How has he managed to make the least amount of noise?
Gotta hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so feel like you drop your sword on the ground, you go, my glasses.
Yeah. My Zenni optical glasses fall off.
And a couple guards accost you. So only Felix roll initiative. You're going to fight these guys off.
He's going to beat these guys off.
Oh, no. What is happening?
Okay,
we got a two.
So one of the first guard is going to try to grapple you. So roll a strength check. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We're back in the double digits.
You just beat him. So you, he grabs you and tries to hold you, but you're able to just like elbow him off. And the other one now is just going to try to thrust his sword in you. Okay, yeah. He tries to hit you, and he just swipes and misses. And he's going to try one more time. I mean, these guys are chumps. Like, you're going to probably be able to handle them okay. That time, he does hit you. Oh, boy. Let's see how this goes. Okay, yeah.
Oh, man.
You take 14 damage as this guy just...
What the fuck?
Yeah. They're not very good at hitting, but they got their glass cannons. Let's put it that way.
So he
slices through you a bit. The two guys are still there. You guys have sprinted away. You could run and join back into the battle if you want to, but you'll risk sort of like alarming additional guards. Or you could try to be stealthy about it too, if you want to try to do that.
Look, the most crucial part of this mission is this side door here. So I have faith that Felix, if he gets to us, I can give him some healing berries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm keeping the door open though. I'm like just sort of like doing I'm doing a come hither motion with my hand and my eyes in a seductive fashion.
Yeah, Shitfuck is looking to you, Matt, and like looking expectantly like, what do you want to do?
Don't avert your eyes from the oaf who's fucking this up. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, you see Shitfuck.
It's like this guy's never fucking hunted a deer in the woods before.
No, we have delivery parcels in the Black City.
Yeah, you see
why would I learn how to hunt?
You see Shitfuck just go like nods and just starts licking his balls. Like, okay, cool, good. Okay, yeah, you're up, Felix.
All right. I'm going to try to just make a huge, huge swipe with Scorching Ray.
Okay.
Just try to hit as many as possible.
Go for it. Okay. 11 is not going to cut it. You're just like, that's one, though. You have two more you can use still.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Not a 10. There you go.
There we go.
Roll for damage. Okay, there we go. Roll for damage. Cool. Okay, yeah. You light one up with fire, and the guard sort of stumbles back a bit scarred. The other one, though, is going to try to grapple you again. He's really trying to hold you down.
All right.
So roll a strength check against him. Oh, fuck. Crit. All right. I mean, unless he gets crit. No. So, yeah, you just fucking knock him off, and you knock him prone. So he's just on the ground. Now, he can't, he's gonna have to like get up next turn. The other guy is gonna try to come back at you with his blade, and he misses again. Wow, you have higher AC than I remember. God damn. Okay, yeah. He misses. So you're up again now.
All right, I already like scorched this guy a bit. I'm just gonna go with the sword.
Fuck yeah. Yep, that's a hit.
All right, yeah.
Go again. Do a damage.
All right.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Describe your kill. Yeah. That guy's
your
done.
Toast, bitch.
Yeah.
I invent a baseball swing.
Yeah.
I sort of square up like Hank Aaron, who will be a baseball player 1,900 years later.
Yes.
He died from the plague cure, by the way.
I just swing, and I just clean cut his fucking head off, and it lands on the groin of the prone guy, and he goes,
"Ooh!" Yeah, he goes, "Oh, it's a living!" Yeah, yeah, you just see a high gal face. Yeah. yeah, that guy is, I think that's too funny. That guy is just like, tries to get up, and he just keeps slipping on the blood and guts. You have a chance to run.
I'm running.
Yeah, roll athletics, see if you can get away. 9. Yeah.
What the fuck? Am I just stuck here?
Yeah. You're like trying to get away. You're kind of stumbling a little bit. That guy's going to try to. That guy still has to like get up and he couldn't attack you. So you're still up. So you can't quite get away from the combat yet. But you still. That was like your reaction. Your action now, you can try to run away one more time. Because that guy kind of used his turn like going, "Oh, I decided."
Okay. One more time.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Higher than 10 is good enough. Yeah. You get away. You're holding the side door open. You see scrawled on top of the side door, etched in ancient, ancient carving, it says Bill's Hole. As you walk in to the side door, it's pitch black in here. There's sort of a flickering torches only at the very end of the hall. I think some of you have... Felix, you have dark vision, so you're able to sort of like pick out the etchings along the wall that seem to be odes to beautiful women who love to keep secrets.
Jennifer of the Flowers.
Yes, for example. Jennifer of the Flowers. You know, the other ones. And you're just like walking through this sort of long hallway through Bill's Hole. You reach the end of the hall, which is also the origin of the torches that are lighting it. And those torches are illuminating a wooden door, a black wooden door. And in contrast to the etchings and engravings and carvings that so delicately line the hall, depicting all these beautiful maidens that King Wilhelm had adored, you see pained and erratic scratch marks on the black wooden door. And of course, behind this door is the Alabaster Palace. And that's where we'll end it today.
Well, gifted child, curious, isn't it? What an age of heroes looks like. I suppose if, despite your travels, you still find yourself seeking tales of the Unblooded from so long ago, perhaps you are worthy of Mummy's praise. Next time we meet by the fire will be our last, so you best come prepared. But I'd expect nothing less from Mummy's special little boy. Enjoy your milky little baby. Enjoy milky, milky mommy. Ooh, you like that, right? Milky baby.